Today we are about to start one of the very awesome chapters in Likutei Moran. That's the only way I could describe it. Awesome. It's based on the opening words of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai in a section of the Zohar HaKodesh that's called Idra Rabbah, the Great Idra. And we'll see. He's going to quote this a few lines from the Zohar HaKodesh, and then he's going to go into an incredible explanation of a number of very important topics. So let's begin chapter 60 in the beginning of Likutei Moran. Posach Rabbi Shimon Viomar, Ho Idra Rabba Kadisha, the Great Idra. Posach Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shimon opened up the shiur to his students and he said, Eis Laso Is Lashem, there's a time when we have to do something very great for Hashem. Amai Eis Laso Is Lashem, why is it a special time to do something for Hashem? Mishum Deheferu Soirosecha, because they have pushed aside your Torah. My heferu Torah secha. What does this mean that they've abrogated the Torah? Torah de la'ela. This refers to a very high level of Torah. De'ihi mizbatla, which becomes negated, nullified. Eloi is avid betikun adah. If we're not involved in this special type of tikkun, a special type of rectification. Ula atik yoimin itmar. The type of tikkun it's talking about here is called atik yoimin. Atik means very old. Very old, ancient. Atik yoimin means something ancient, which usually refers to the highest levels of kindness and light of Hashem. That's the terminology that's used, atik yoimin. Then it continues, ksiv, there's a pasuk that says, Ashrecha Yisrael mikomecha. How fortunate are you, Jewish nation? Who in the world is there like you? Uchsiv, and there's another pasuk that says about Hashem, Mi kamoicho bo'elim Hashem. Who in the world is there that's as great and powerful as you, Hashem? This is the introduction to this shiur. And then the Zohar HaKadosh says, Koro l'Rabbi Elozer Brei, Rabbi Shimon called over his son Rabbi Elozer, Oisvei Kamei, and he seated him next to him. Ula Rabbi Abba and his closest student, Rabbi Abba, mi sitra achra, was seated on the other side, in back of Rabbi Shimon, on the other side of Rabbi Shimon. Va'omar, and Rabbi Shimon said, Anan klola dekoila. We three represent everything. We represent the right, the left, and center. Just like the word emes. For example, the Aleph of the word Emet is the first letter of the Aleph Beis, the Tuf is the last letter, and the Mem is the middle letter. So Rabbi Shimon said to them, we represent everything. We are Koilel everything. Ad kan istaknu kayomin. Up until this point, certain tikkunim, rectifications, have been accomplished. Ishtiku, the Zohar HaKadosh says they were silent. Shamu kala, and they heard a voice from heaven, va'arkevuson doladon akshon, and their knees were banging together from fear. They were terrified by this incredible voice from heaven. My kala, what was this voice? Kala dechnufya ilo de mischanfi. It was the sound of a heavenly entourage that was gathering together to hear this shiur that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai would be giving. This shiur that's called Idra Rabbah, where he explains the basic concepts of Kabbalah, the Midos of Hashem, the different worlds, and how they interact. This is the introduction. Now Rabbeinu Zal is going to go into a whole beautiful Torah, and in the end he's going to tie it in to what we quoted here about from Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Zal. Da, you should know, Sheyesh Shvilei HaTorah, that there are certain paths in Torah, Sheyesh bohem hizboinenus gadol ma'od, which have tremendous depth to them, very, very high level of understanding. Sheyefshe lovoi la hizboinenus hazois, kim alidei ashirus, whereby it's impossible for a Jew to attain that depth of knowledge, that high level hizboinenus of Torah, without wealth. It requires wealth. Kimoi, just as, when it comes to the ordinary study of Torah, the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, im ein kemach, ein Torah. If there's no food, if there's no parnasa, there's no Torah. A person cannot study Torah unless they have the financial backing. Either they're supporting themselves or somebody else is supporting them. V'tzorech she'yeh lo yalkol panim parnasa. A person must have parnasa in order to allow them, to afford them the opportunity to study Torah. K'moy kein lahisboinenus hazois. So too, regarding this very high level of Torah that he's referring to as this hisboinenus gadol, shehu gadol ma'oid, which is on a very, very high level, tzorech she'yeh lo ashirus gadol ma'oid. It must have a matching level of wealth, a very, very large quantity of wealth. She'yeh lo hoin rav, that the person should have tremendous riches. V'loy sechsar koil bo, they shouldn't be lacking in anything at all. Ki tzorech kol hoin d'alma lahisboinenus hazois. Because it requires the whole wealth of the world in order to achieve this very high-level understanding of Torah. U'bnei Yisachar, the people from the tribe of Yisachar, who were the ones who studied Torah, we know the Gemara tells us that Yisachar and Zvulun made an agreement between them, that the people from the tribe of Yisachar, who were on a very high level of Torah capacity, they set themselves up completely to study Torah full-time, and Zvulun, the people of Zvulun said, we will support you. We'll go out and do business and work in order to support your study of Torah. And the Pasuk says, Umibnei Yisachar yoidei bina, that the people of the tribe of Yisachar had this bina. They had this very high level of understanding. Lo yizachu lazeh, they couldn't achieve this, kiim al yidei ashirus, without wealth. Bechinas, as the Pasuk says in this coming week's Parsha, the Parsha that we're going to be reading this coming Shabbos is Parsha's Vayechi, where Yaakov Avinu gives blessings to his children, and he says there, Yisachar chamoyer gorem. Yisachar is a strong-boned donkey. The Targum on that Pasuk says, Atir benichsin, very wealthy with possessions. So the Targum makes it clear that Yisachar, who had this bina, it required tremendous wealth in order to be able to achieve that deep level of understanding of Torah. And now Rabbeinu Zal adds, V'alkein, and because of what we just said, Moshe Rabbeinu, V'chol Hanavim, and all of the prophets, who also had a very high level understanding of Hashem and a very deep connection to Hashem, Hoyolahem Ashirus Godol Moid. They possessed tremendous wealth, Kedei Lovoy Al Yodoy Lahisboinenus Hazois, in order to enable them to attain this deep level of understanding. Umach Masheyesh Bahat Toira Hisboinenus Hazois, and because of the fact that the Torah has in it this very deep knowledge, this very deep level of understanding of Hashem and spirituality, Al Kain Nikreis HaTorah Hoin. It's for this reason that the Torah is given this nickname Hoin, wealth, as we find in Psukim and Mishlei in other places. V'chein, and in addition, Kol Mi She'ovar Derech Yodom HaTorah, all of those individuals through whom the Torah passed, they were major players in transmitting the Torah to Klal Yisrael, Hoyolahem Ashirus Godol Moed. They were extremely wealthy. Dehainu, for example, Moshe Rabbeinu, Shehevi HaTorah LeYisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu who brought the Torah down to the Jewish people from heaven, Hoyo Oshir Godol, was very wealthy. K'mayshom Rabbi Seinuzal, as the Gemara says, V'chein Rebbe, and so we're going to see the Pasuk for this in a short while, how we know that Moshe Rabbeinu was wealthy and where he got his wealth from. V'chein Rebbe, and so too Rebbe Yehuda Hanasi, Shesider V'chosam HaMishnayis, who was the one who organized and sealed the six sections of Mishnah, was also extremely wealthy. The Gemara says he was richer than the Roman emperor. V'chein Rav Ashi. And so to Rav Ashi, who came many generations later after Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, Shehoyo Chasimas HaTalmud. He was the one who closed the Gemara. He was the one who helped codify, organize, and document the Gemara as we have it. The Sider HaTalmud, he closed and organized the Gemara. Shegamkein Hoyu Ashirim Gedoyle Ma'oid. They were also very wealthy, Kmo Shom Rabbi Senzal, as the Gemara tells us. Why? Ki machmas shetiknu v'sidru es kol hator shebalpeh. Because of the fact that they arranged and established the oral Torah, v'ovar derech yodom hatorah, and the Torah was transmitted through them. They were major factors in transmitting the Torah to future generations. Al kein hoyu gam kein ashirim. Therefore, they were also wealthy. Kitzorich ashirus godoil lahizboinus hanal. Because major wealth is a requirement, a prerequisite for this deep level of understanding of Torah, this hizboinus haTorah. V'zeh b'chinas psol l'cha. And this is what the Gemara tells us, that Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, psol l'cha shnei luchay savonim. Carve out for yourself two tablets made of stone. The word psol means to carve out. And we know that the stone that was used for this was a very, very expensive sapphire on which the luchos were inscribed. V'dorsh Rabbi Seinu Zichron Lebracha, our rabbis tell us that another interpretation of the words psol l'cha is ha-psoiles yihyu shelcha. The chips, when you engrave the words on these stones, you do it by punching out the stone to carve out these words. Those chips will belong to you, Moshe Rabbeinu. He got to keep those chips, and that's where that made him extremely wealthy. Ki kemoi shebe pashtei oraisa. Now Rabbeinu explains why it is this way, why this is necessary. Rabbeinu Zal says, just like when a person is learning standard levels of Torah, when a person is learning Gemara, something like that, koidim shemechatshin eze pshat, before a person presents a new idea, a new revelation, tzorech loimar mikoidim hakdomois, they have to first provide introductory material. A rabbi who's teaching Gemara or Mishnayis to students who are sort of beginners, before he actually presents the Mishnah that they're going to be learning or the Gemara that they're going to be learning, usually he'll give a major introduction. He'll explain what this means, all kinds of introductory material, and he'll say, based on this introduction, now we're going to study this Mishnah or this piece of Gemara, and you're going to see exactly, you'll be able to understand how this works, because I've given you the building blocks in this introduction that I've given you. V'achar kach, and once the introductory material has been given, mashlichen ha-hagdomois, we put aside the introduction, u'boim al-mechuvan, and we get to what the teacher was actually trying to teach, the Mishnah or the piece of Gemara that he wanted to get across. Ki ha'ikar hu ha-mechuvan, because the most important thing is that the Mishnah or the Gemara that the Rebbe is trying to teach the students. V'chol hadvorim v'hakdomai shemikoidim, and all of the introductory material that was given before that, heim b'chinas psoiles, that becomes almost like waste. Sheninsorin v'nisolin sofev ha-mechuvan, which gets cut away and carved away, and it surrounds the point that we were really trying to get to. It's like peeling off layers. It's like when a person wants to eat a fruit. First they have to get off the peel in order to get to the fruit. Now the question is, why was the peel necessary in the first place? We know one of the reasons we see why you have to have a peel is because once you peel a fruit, when you peel an apple and you leave it in that unpeeled state, in a couple hours it turns brown, and a couple of more hours you have to throw it away. So the peel is a protection that protects the actual fruit. Here also, we're in the second paragraph or so of chapter 60 in Likutei Moran. Here also, when a Rebbe or a teacher is trying to give over a certain piece of Torah, a certain piece of learning, very often they have to first give an introduction where they present the basic concepts that are going to be addressed in that lesson. And then once the introduction is given over, the introduction can be put aside. And now let's get to the meat of what we wanted to learn. Let's get to the lesson that the rabbi wanted to teach. Rabbein Azal says, "Kemoikein behisboinenes haTorah." The same thing is true regarding this deep level of understanding of Torah, a very deep study of Torah. Tzorich leilech mikoidim ulesabev bekama sivuvim. The person has to first go through all kinds of concentric circles, sort of, where they're going round and round, they're discussing things that are going to be relevant to understand that deep concept of Torah, ad sheboim ala mechuvan, until eventually we're going to arrive at the actual lesson that the rabbi is trying to teach, the actual deep concept that we're trying to get across. V'hoyikar, obviously the main thing is, hamechuvan, the intended lesson that the rabbi wants to give over, the message that he wants to teach. V'chol elu hasivuvim, and all of these thoughts that were given as introduction, that were given as introductory material, hein bechinas psoiles, they become almost like waste. They get thrown aside, put aside, once we get to the actual lesson. Vehein bechinas ashirus. And they could be compared to the wealth that we spoke about here. We said that in order for a Jew to be able to get to his boinanus haTorah, a very deep level of understanding of Torah, it requires wealth. Because we said that, just like the Mishnah says, imein kemach ein Torah, that to study standard levels of Torah requires finances. It requires financial backing. You have to pay the teacher, you have to pay the school, you have to pay the... And the student who's studying has to be able to afford this time, taking this time to study. There has to be somebody who's footing that bill. And we said that when it comes to hisboinenus, a very deep level of Torah, then it's not just parnosa that's required, but it requires tremendous wealth. Vehein bechina, and we said that this wealth is a prerequisite, it's an introduction to the hisboinenus haTorah. So now Rabbein Zal says, vehein bechina sashirus, she'al yodoi boim el hahisboinenus. This psoilus, the introductions that are given before a person can understand a lesson, those introductions could be compared to the wealth that's a prerequisite, that it's an intro into a person being able to get to this hisboinenus haTorah, this deep level of Torah. V'ze bechinas, now going back again to the pasuk we quoted earlier, psol lecha, that Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, psol lecha, which said has two meanings. It means carve out for yourself, carve out from the stone the letters that are going to be engraved in the stone. But psol lecha also, the Gemara says, means hapsoiles yihyeh shelcha. The waste matter, this psoles, these chips, the carved out portions, are going to be yours. And the Gemara says, Mishom nisasher Moshe, that Moshe Rabbeinu became wealthy because those shavings, those chips from these tablets were like diamond chips. These were sapphire chips, which were very, very expensive. Kizeh hapsoiles shel haluchos, because these shavings of the luchos, these chips, heim bechinas hasivuvim, they represent like the introductions that we mentioned before. Shemin sorin v'nifsolin soviv soviv ha'hisboinenus, which get carved away and chipped away surrounding the actual Torah, the actual lesson of Torah that's going to be brought forth. V'heim b'chinas ashirus hanal, and they also reflect wealth. These were very expensive, these chips. They were worth millions of dollars. And again, it's through these introductions, through this psoilus, through this wealth, that we get to the hisboinenus, that we get to this very deep, high-level understanding of Torah. And Rabbi Nizal says this is actually reflected in the word money. The word money, which is mamoin in Hebrew, Rosh Tevois makes up the first letters of the three words Misham Nisasher Moshe. It's from there that Moshe Rabbeinu became wealthy. Where's the there? The Vav. The word mamoin is spelled Mem Mem Vav Nun. So the letters Mem Mem Nun spell the words, make up the first letters of Misham Nisasher Moshe. From where? From the Vav. What is the Vav? Vahavav hu bechinas haluchos. The letter Vav represents the tablets. Shemisham Nisasher Moshe, which is where Moshe Rabbeinu took his wealth from. Because the Gemara tells us in Baba Basra, ki haluchos orkon Vav varochban Vav. The tablets which Moshe Rabbeinu brought down from heaven were 6 by 6. The letter Vav means 6. So the Vav represents the tablets which were 6. And when you pronounce the word Vav, it's Vav, as if it were a Vav with a chametz under it and another Vav. So the Vav is 2 Vavs, representing the length and width of the tablets, which were this Vav, and that's where Moshe Rabbeinu got his wealth from. As the Gemara tells us. So here again, in this first paragraph, Rabbeinu Zal wants to get across the point that he's speaking about Hizboinenus HaTorah. He's speaking about a very, very high level, deep level of understanding of Torah, like the secrets of Torah, the secrets of Kabbalah, something like that. And he says that in order for a Jew to be zoicha to this Hizboinenus HaTorah, it requires wealth, tremendous wealth. And he showed us that, therefore, the major players in Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu, who gave us the written Torah, Rabbi Yehuda Nosi, who gave us the Torah Shebal Peh, Rav Ashi, who gave us the Gemara, Rabbi Akiva, had tremendous wealth. This was a prerequisite for this Hizboinenus HaTorah. Any questions?
I have 2 questions.
Please.
Are we talking about the first and second set of luchos? And also, what is this level of Torah that we're talking about? Because we have many examples of tzaddikim that lived in extreme poverty.
True. He didn't say every person. He gave us some examples, meaning that this doesn't apply to every. Rabbi Hanina ben Doset says lived on a kav charuvin. But he's showing us examples that there were certain individuals, Moshe Rabbeinu, Torah Shebal Sav, Rabbi Yehuda Nosi, Torah Shebal Peh, Rav Ashi, who closed the Gemara, that did have this tremendous wealth, number one. In terms of the depth of Torah he's referring to, an example of it, I would say, is like the secrets of Torah. The deeper, a very deep level of understanding of Hashem. That's what he's referring to as this Hizboinenus HaTorah. Now, in Likutei Halachos, where Rav Nosson Zal expounds very often on Likutei Moran, he gives us another example of this. We know that when the Jews came out of Egypt, Hashem insisted that we take all of their gold and silver, all the wealth of Egypt. One reason he said, because he promised Avraham Avinu, V'achreichen yetzu b'rechush gadol, that the Jews are going to suffer slavery, but they're going to leave with tremendous wealth. So sure enough, they did. They got millions when they left Egypt, and they got billions at Kriyas Yamsuf. Now the question is, there were no malls in the Midbar. There were no malls, shopping malls. There were no department stores, Macy's, Gimbel's, what were they supposed to do with all of that money? What were they supposed to do with all of that wealth? Why in the world was it needed? Picture schlepping this stuff through the desert for 40 years. Rav Nosson Zal explains, because when they left Egypt, they were headed to Har Sinai. And they made a trek of a 50-day trip to Har Sinai. And the Torah was given on Mount Sinai on the 50th day, which is called Bina. There are 50 gates of Bina, the Gemara says. Nun Share Bina. So that the Jewish people, and on Har Sinai is when there was the greatest revelation ever of Hashem. Hashem revealing, it says, Ponim beponim dibra Hashem imochem. Hashem spoke to Klal Yisrael face to face. All of Klal Yisrael were on the Madrega of prophets. They were like Nevi'im. And this is one of the reasons why they required this incredible, incredible wealth. That Ashirus was needed for this Hizboinenus HaTorah. Now we're going to see as we go on a little more to understand why and exactly why does it work this way. Let's continue. We have a long Torah in front of us that's going to put together an incredible puzzle, the pieces of an incredible puzzle. Another question, I'm sorry?
It was mentioned before, but Solocha is only by the second Luchos.
I'm sorry.
So what about the first place?
The Solocha is only mentioned by the second Luchos.
True. Good question. I don't recall seeing anybody speak about that. Why? Here again, the first Luchos, Moshe Rabbeinu brought down from heaven. The second Luchos, Hashem told him, Psolucha, you carve it out. You follow? So again, you carve it out, number one, and you get to keep the chips. I'll try to look in Mitzvah Hashem to see if any of the Mephorshim comment on that at all, about the first set.
Rabbi, wouldn't that mean that perhaps by the first Luchos, we would have been on a different Madrega of Hispaninus? There would be no Psylus.
Possible. That could be a possible explanation of it. Just like had Adam and Chava not eaten from Yetz Hadas, we wouldn't have had to deal with Toiv and Ra. It would have been just Toiv, Kuloi Toiv, like it'll be in the future. Possible. Okay, let's continue. Now Rabbi Nazal says, paragraph Beis, the Lovoi Lashirus Hazois, how does a person acquire this great wealth? Hual Yedei Bechinas Tikune Atik. It requires the tikkun of Atik. And again, Atik means old age or ancient. Bechinas arichus yomim. It requires long life, length of days. And we'll see, Rabbi Nazar is going to explain exactly what this means. Bechinas zokein. Like you have the Hebrew term zokein, which means an elder. Kitzorich arichus yomim. A Jew must have long days in order in which to, that's the vessel into which to receive the wealth that's needed for the Hispoinanus. The Arichus Yomim. Now, how are we defining long life here? Does this mean to live 300 years or no? The Arichus Yomim, the type of long days that we're speaking about here. Hainu shetzorich sheyire lehaarich ulahagdil yomav. A Jew has to strive to lengthen and increase the size of his days. Meaning, ki kol yoim vayoim mimokom shemaschleit so kol echod, because every day of a person's life, when the day begins, bevadai batchila hu kotzer, the day starts out small. Meaning, like when you get into a car and you start the car and you put your foot on the accelerator. In most cars, it doesn't start off at 120 miles an hour. It starts at 5 and goes up to 10 and goes to 15 to 20 to 60. So too, when we're revving up our engines in the morning, when a person gets up, most people, it takes them time to get their engine, you know, souped up. So the day starts small, slowly. The person starts off moving slowly. And hopefully, they pick up speed as they're continuing throughout the day. So Rabbi Nazal says, Hainu shebetchila sayoim, kosho olav mo'oid ho'avoide shetzorech la'asoiz boi sayoim. In the beginning of the day, when the person first wakes up, and they're first coming out of their sleep and everything, it's very difficult for them to do what they have to do, you know, to accomplish the day's avoda. Kegoin lehispalel, whether it's to daven, velilmoid, or to learn, ukeyotze, or whatever else the person needs to do. Again, most people start off slow, and very small. They're going at 5 miles an hour, if they're lucky. Va'alkein, hayoim betchilosoi hu kotzer. And therefore we define the day, we say the day starts out narrow, you know, small. Kitzorech lahaschil ma'at ma'at. Because when you're first getting started, it's understood. Most people don't start running. They don't hit the ground running, most people. You watch especially kids getting up in the morning. You know, it takes time for them to pull themselves together and slowly get that engine started. V'acharkach misrachei v'hoylech b'avoidosoi. And as the day continues, as the time goes on, it widens and widens. Again, it increases. The person increases, they expand their progress and their speed and their devotions. Now Rabbein Azal says, V'tzorich ho'odom lirois lahagdil u'laharchiv u'laha'arich kol sho v'sho shebo acharkach. A Jew is supposed to strive to increase and expand and lengthen and widen every increasing hour of the day. At 8 o'clock in the morning, I'm working at a certain speed. At 9 o'clock in the morning, I should be working at a higher speed, better, stronger. At 10 o'clock, even stronger. As the day goes on, a person is supposed to be growing, increasing the speed, increasing the activity, the accomplishment. V'chein kishebo yoim hasheni. And then so too, when we get to Monday, when Sunday is over, and now we're Monday, we're up to the second day of the week. Yihye hoylech u'misracheiv betoisvis kedushi yaseira. A Jew, a loyal, observant Jew, has to see to it that Monday is not the same as Sunday. Otherwise, why did Hashem give me another day if I'm at the same place I was at yesterday? I have to see to it that on Monday, I'm doing better and more. Higher, more quality, more quantity than I was doing the day before. That the day should be hoylech u'misracheiv betoisvis kiddush yaseira, with increased holiness. V'chein b'chol pam u'pam, and so too, at each interval of time, yihu yomov misrachvin betoisvis kiddusha. A Jew is supposed to strive to see to it that every day he's getting to a new level. Like when we, again, the counting of Sfira, when we were counting the Omer, we wanted to get to that 50th level. You want to get to Bina? You want to get to Hisboinenus? You can't get it by staying in the same position as you were in yesterday. Today is 13 days in the Omer. Tomorrow is no longer 13 days. Tomorrow is 14 days in the Omer. I'm not on the same rung on the ladder that I was on yesterday. I'm making it perfectly clear that, again, observant Judaism requires me to move, to advance, to get to a higher place every day, every hour. I'm trying to get to a higher place. V'ze b'chinas arichus yomim. This is called long life. This is how Rabbeinu Zal is using the term arichus yomim in this Torah. He's talking about a person who understands that serving Hashem properly means advancing in quantity and quality of production. Just like, again, a person starts up a company, they're producing, when they first get started, they're producing so many, you know, units a day, and then as they increase their productivity, as they build up the business, they're able to do double and triple and 100 times more, add machines, add personnel, add quality control, you know, all the different things, to be able to upgrade. Rabbi Nachman teaches us that a Jew, an Avodas Hashem, this is what Hashem is really looking for us. He wants us to have this Arichus Yomim, and this is a prerequisite to receive this Ashirus Digdusha. And he's going to prove this now from several psukim, several examples. The Avraham Avinu, Shezocho Lebechinas Zokain, who achieved this madrega, this level called zokain, which means bechinas arichus yomim. Usually the term zokain means an old man, a person who's lived long life. Ayidei zeh zocho la'ashirus. because Avraham Avinu had this arichas yomim, he had this zokein, therefore he was able to achieve wealth. Bechinas, as it says clearly in the pasuk puts these two together. The Avraham zokein bo bayomim, Avraham Avinu was elderly, advanced in his life. V'Hashem beirach as Avraham bakoil, and Hashem blessed Avraham Avinu with everything. Everything means real wealth. Remember, like when Yaakov Avinu and Esav met, and Esav told Yaakov Avinu, no, I don't need this gift. Yeshli rov, I have a lot. Yaakov Avinu said to Esav, yeshli koil, I have everything. So here the Torah tells us about Avraham Avinu that he was zokein bo bayomim, he came with his days, which the Meforshim tells us that means that each day was accounted for, each day was accountable. And again, accountable means that on Monday, I'm not being as productive as I was on Sunday. Otherwise, what did I accomplish? Why am I, if I have a new day, a new week, the second year of the business has to be growing. People know that when you start, when big businesses start off, they know that for the first 2 years, you don't make any profit at all. You're lucky if you break even, or you're trying to decrease the debt. You're trying to cover the investment, pay back the loans. But then the third year, we're starting to see productivity. We're starting to see the numbers grow, and the fourth year, and so on and so forth. Rabbi Mizal teaches us that in Ruchnius, that's the way it's supposed to be. If a person is really being religious properly, if a person is serving Hashem properly, then every day they're growing, they're advancing. Not just every day, but even every hour, on a certain level. V'zeh b'chinas, and this is also what's meant when the pasuk says, mizekenim esboinon. From elders, I gain bina, a deep understanding. Shalidei b'chinas zokein. This is connecting A and C. Remember, Rabbeinu Zal spoke about three concepts so far. He spoke about hezboinenu satora, which requires ashirus, which requires arichas yomim. Now he connected, in the previous pasuk, he connected the arichas yomim and the ashirus. Now he's going back and connecting the arichas yomim to the hezboinenu satora. The pasuk says, mizekenim, through old age, esboinon, I get to this hisboinenus, this deep understanding. Shaidei b'chinas zokinanal, bo lehisboinenus, shehu bo al yidei ashirus, which a person achieves through wealth, shenimshach letoich arichas yomim. The wealth is infused into the long, long life, into the long days, shehu b'chinas zokin. Again, the term arichas yomim, another word for that is zokein, an elder, an old man. Now, how does a person get to this madrega? How does a person get to this level where every new hour they're doing more and better than the previous hour? And every new day they're doing better and more than the previous day? Ubechinas zokein, paragraph gimel. This aspect of elder, Dahainu laharchiv ulaharich yomov betoisvis kedusha kol pam, where a person is constantly in expanding, widening, and lengthening each and every day. He's packing in a more powerful punch every new day than the previous day. Yesterday, he was learning 3 pages a day. The next day, he ups it to 3.5 pages or 4 pages. He keeps expanding, growing, and growing. How does a person get to that? Hual yedei yira. The prerequisite to that is yira. Yira means fear, and yira means respect. Shehayira mevia toisves kedusha b'chol yoim. When a person has yira, that enables them to increase the holiness every single day. Shehayidei ze nisorchin v'nisrachavin hayomim. And that makes each day longer, longer and wider. Bibchinas, as the pasuk says in Mishlei, Yiras Hashem toisif yomim. Fear of Hashem prolongs one's days. we know that yira, fear, can shorten a person's life. Fears, anxieties, all the doctors, the medicals, and psychologists will all tell you that fear, anxiety shortens a person's life. And it could even kill a person. There's a term to die from fright. That's when the fears are misplaced. When a person is afraid and anxious about things that they shouldn't be, or in a wrong type of way. Whereas the Torah here tells us, Yiras Hashem toisif yomim, that fear of Hashem increases one's life. It adds to one's life. It enables a person to do much more. We know, for example, a child or a kid, you know, kids, one of the reasons why kids have tests at the end of a week or at the end of a certain period of time, there's a test, is because without the test, the kids aren't taking the studying that seriously. Person knows they're going to be tested on the material, they're going to be accountable, and they're going to be rewarded if they do well, and they're going to be punished. There are consequences if they don't do well. That motivates the kid to do much more than they would be doing if they didn't have that motivation, if they didn't have that sword over their head, that kind of thing. The yira is one of the facets that helps a person push much, much more, much harder than they ever could. We know there's a concept of adrenaline, that sometimes, chas v'shalom, he has cases of a parent who was afraid of a child, a car went on top of a child's foot, and the mother lifted up the car to pull out the kid from under. Where did they get that? Again, there's a certain aspect of a yira, a terror of being hard, that gives a person nuclear, much more strength than they ever could have before without that. So there's one pasuk that says, Yiras Hashem toisif yomim, that yira increases one's days, it prolongs, it expands one's days. V'zebechinas, there's also another pasuk that says, Yiras Hashem hi oitzoroi. Fear of Hashem is Hashem's treasure house, treasury. Bechinas, this goes back to what it says in the Gemara in a different place, that when Hashem built Chava, it says, Vayiven es Hatzela, that Hashem built up that rib. So the Gemara says, Aso'o ko'oitzar, Hashem designed the woman like a storehouse, like a storage house, like a silo. Shehu kotzer milamala, v'rochav milamata, which is short on top and wide on bottom, like a pyramid. You know, like when you're storing wheat, you store something, a pyramid. On top, it's very narrow. It comes to a point, and as it goes down, it widens. And so too, in a woman, the place where a woman, the womb of a woman, is narrow on the outside and widens on the inside to be able to hold the child. Rabbi Nizal says, Ki hascholas hayomim heim ktsorim, because as we explained earlier, the beginning of the day is short. When a person is first starting out their day, they're moving at 3 miles an hour or 5 miles an hour. V'achar kach, as the day moves on, if the person is doing what they're supposed to be doing, if the person is doing the right thing, misrachavin v'holchin b'toisvus kedusha, the day widens and expands with additional kedusha. The person's going up to 20 miles an hour, 50 miles an hour. They're burning rubber. They're accomplishing much more. They're moving at a much higher pace in quantity and quality than they were when they first started out their day. How? Al yedei hayira, through this aspect of fear and respect. Nimtza, we conclude therefore, shezoichin al yedei hayira la'arichas yomim, that this aspect, this yira, gives a person long life, length of days. It enables the person to accomplish much more than they would have if they didn't have this yira. Shehim bechinas zokein, arichas yomim is referred to as zokein, bechinas tikune atik, which the Zohar HaKadosh referred to as this tikun of atik. Atik means very, very old, ancient. And it's through this old age, this zokein, this long, long life, that's a vessel into which the person can receive the ashirus, the wealth. And now Rabbeinu is going to explain, ki hayira shomeres me hahefech shal ashirus. Because fear of Hashem and respect for Hashem protects a person from the opposite of wealth, which is dahainu anius, which is poverty. Shebo al yidei bechinas, what causes a person to lose their wealth or to be poor? Shebo al yidei bechinas sheker hachein vehevel ayoifi. The way that a person, chas v'shalom, what leads a person to forfeit their wealth, to lose wealth, is the false type of grace and a beauty, a vain type of beauty. Sheker achein vehevel ayoifi. This is a pasuk in Mishlei. We say it on Friday night in Eishes Chayil, where Shlomo HaMelech says that a person needs to know that in this world that we are living in, this materialistic world, there's chein of kedusha and there's yofi of kedusha. Yosef HaTzadik was described as yefei toar v'yefei mare. He was handsome, but his handsomeness was a handsomeness of holiness, a genuine beauty, a divine beauty. Whereas we're told that in this world also, there's the opposite of that, and a grace. The Torah tells us about Esther Amalka, Vatehi Esther Noises Chein Be'enei Kol Royeho, that Queen Esther had a chein, a grace, where anybody that looked at her said, wow, this is real true beauty. And again, it wasn't based on her waistline or that. This was a divine, holy grace. And the Torah tells us that there's corresponding to that, there's the opposite of that. There's a sheker hachein vehevel ayoifi. There's a false, fake, phony type of grace. And there's a beauty that's vain. It's not a real beauty. It's not a true beauty. And now Rabbeinu Zal is going to clarify this. Ki yesh kama minei chein shel sheker. Because there are various forms of deceptive chein, a false type of chein, she'osim, which people do, ba'amido, when they're getting up, u'ba'achilo, or in the way that they eat, u'bediburo yimanashim, or the way, manner that they speak to people. You have what's called etiquette, and you have certain people who, again, when they're eating or they're walking, they look like the most graceful and regal, royal type of people. Then you find out afterwards that behind closed doors, it's an animal. You know, an animal that has no control over his emotions or her emotions. They'll do the most ugly, disgusting, base type of things. But again, on the outside, they put on a deceptive type of chein and yofi, as if they're really beautiful people. Again, we talk about beautiful people. Some of our politicians, or, you know, other people, or again, actors and actresses, who could be more beautiful and graceful than these people? And then we find out what goes on behind the curtains. We find out that it's a sheker achein, and it's a hevel ayoifi. These people, again, you would think these people, when they get married, they have the best marriages in the world. You know, 99 out of 100 are divorced, in rehab, you know, with all of this, or committing suicide. V'chein b'shar dvorim, and so too in other activities, there is this potential for this chein shel sheker. U'lechol dovar yesh chein achar miyuchad. Each thing has a unique type of grace that's associated with that. How a person rides a horse, how a person eats, how a person walks in the street, you know, all these different things. V'chol eilu hachinois shel sheker heim boim al yidei hevel ayoifi. All of these false types of grace come about through hevel ayoifi, by the person's pursuit for a vain type of beauty. Bebechinas, as the pasuk says, sheker achein vehevel ayoifi, that these two go together, meaning dahainu, mi she'enoi nishmar mi yofi hanoshim, a person who doesn't guard themselves from being sucked into the beauty of women, again, the materialistic, the external beauty of women, a person who doesn't watch himself to avoid getting ensnared into that, al yidei zeh yesh loy taivos shel elu hachinoy shel sheker. That type of person will find themselves acquiring a desire for this shek, this chen shel sheker. Again, they like to put on perfume, you know, all kinds of different things that they're doing to try to make themselves appear to have chen, an external type of chen, not something that's really coming from inside. The yira, whereas yira, respect and fear of Hashem, and respect and fear for holiness, hu hepech mizeh, is the opposite of this sheker achen and hevel ayofi. K'may shekosev, as it says right there in Mishlei, in Eishes Chayil, sheker achen vevel ayofi, isho yiras Hashem hitisalo. That there's a grace, there's a false type of grace, and there's a vain type of beauty, but there's something that's the exact opposite of that, which is the woman who possesses yiras Hashem, who possesses fear and respect for Hashem, he tishalol. She is really praiseworthy. That's real. That's real chen. That's real yoifi. And again, that's not an exterior. That's not something that's like a thin covering under which you have ugliness. You know, midos rois and taivos rois and all kinds of things. Any questions?
Zero.
Yes.
Isn't also anger a huge barometer, but to lose parnasa?
Definitely. Rabbi Nachman has several chapters in Likut Imran where he goes into that. We had one, the previous chapter, chapter 59. He mentioned that wealth is called chayma, a wall of security is a person's wealth, and anger is called chayma. And Rabbi Nachman explained that these two can easily be switched. That a Jew who's presented with an opportunity to lose their temper, chas v'shalom, very often it's because Hashem wants to give them a gift of wealth, and the Satan wants to try to block that because he knows that when wealth gets into the hands of a good person, it could accomplish incredible good things. So the Satan tries to tempt the person to get them to fall into anger, kas, whereby chas v'shalom they forfeit that wealth. They exchange the chayma for chayma. But in this particular Torah, he's talking about another way. He's talking about a person who chas v'shalom gets sucked into the sheker achen and hevel ayofi of the materialistic world, of the olam agashmi, where it's pure, again, it's advertising, it's marketing, it's taking things that aren't beautiful and dressing them up, make them seem like so great. You know, a box of cigars. You know, this is mamash, this is the symbol of respectability. Here in Israel now, for the past few months, three quarters of the media is revolving around the fact that Bibi Netanyahu was given expensive, very expensive cigars by one of the very wealthy philanthropists. And is this a bribe or is this a this? What are we talking about here? What in the world? These are the people we're looking up to. I was saying these are symbols of success. This is the high society of today.
What's the Breslov thought on studying Torah during the Goyisha holiday tonight?
There are different opinions on that. I've heard that, number one, in different countries, they actually they celebrate the holiday on different days. There are some places where December 25th was it. There are other places where it was January 1st. Was, you know, I've seen... It wasn't made that much of an issue. One of my rabbis, Rabbi Rosenfeld, Zichron Avroch, I remember one time when the Shir night that he gave regularly came out on December 25th, you know, and we were living in New York, you know, where that was, you know, a major thing. He said, tonight we're going to switch the Shir to Sipurei Maisios. You know, instead of learning the standard Gemara, the Ein Yaakov that he was teaching, he switched it to Sipurei Maisios. It's the deepest level of Torah, showing a little bit of a change.
Okay, thank you so much.
For sure. A wonderful day. By the way, this week, two very important things. Wednesday night, Thursday, Asara B'Teves, is the yahrzeit of Reb Nosson Zal, the prime student of Rabbi Nachman. And in just about all the Breslov shuls and centers, there'll be a yahrzeit celebration in honor on the night before, you know, either the night before, the night after, Asara B'Teves. I'm planning on traveling to America. I'm leaving Israel Tuesday night, and I hope to be in Lakewood, New Jersey, the Breslov Shul in Lakewood, New Jersey, and they'll have a few speakers. They'll have a Suda. I hope to be there, and I'll be in general New York, New Jersey area for about 2 weeks. If anybody wants to be in touch, by email, by phone.